I'd like to start this week by saying Happy New Year to everybody, and thank you for being a listener. You are listening to episode number 26 of That's a Freebie, titled The Year of Growth. On the show this week, I'm going to talk about growth, obviously. And I'm going to talk you through last week's episode. As promised, this week we're going to go through the creation process of the previous episode. For any that didn't listen, there was an episode that was released on Christmas Day. Again, I did not expect you to listen on Christmas Day. Obviously, that time is to be spent with your family or doing something fun, whatever it is you do at Christmas. That's what that time is for. No, what I expected or hoped is that you would listen to it sometime during the holidays, have a think about the episode, and come back to me with some thoughts. So I thought I would go through the process of writing it. I'm going to start with the writing of the episode. We will get into the AI-generated voice after I've gone through the writing of the episode. But the creation of the episode was definitely the more fun part, I think. As you know, I do create a single question every week that's generated by AI. But mostly, it just involves me saying, give me another question, please, because I've got a tab set up in ChatGPT that is just there for generating the questions. And then if I, for whatever reason, I don't like the question, I'll just say, give me another one. Or if it repeats itself, which it actually does repeat itself quite often. So I do sometimes have to ask it to regenerate the question. So I started with something straightforward, and I really hoped that I would just be able to type in one paragraph and it'd create the entire thing for me, because the easier the better. It was being released during Christmas. I was not expecting to get time to do it, to be honest. So the fact that it did turn out to be quite as easy as it was a blessing. That said, it wasn't just a case of writing, please write me an episode, because it seems to, when you do that, it seems to write an episode of a podcast it wants to write that doesn't follow your own format, no matter how much training you give it on the formatting of your podcast. It will write a single podcast based on what it thinks the standard formatting should be, which I'll show you now. So the first thing I wrote is, I'm writing an episode of my podcast that is going to be entirely created by ChatGPT. It will be episode 25 and will be released on Christmas Day. I'm going to ask for a series of sections. Can you use what you already know from the files that I've previously uploaded in order to create an episode piece by piece? By the files I've already uploaded, I mean transcripts of the show up to now. So I have a GPT setup where I've uploaded the transcripts of the last 20 shows, and it will use that information to help determine the answers to questions that I ask. Sadly, you can only upload 20 shows or 20 documents. So what I was hoping to do was create like a comprehensive they call it a GPT, a comprehensive GPT that has the transcript of every show. So I could just ask questions, because I am actually starting to reach that stage where two things have happened. I'm getting to the point where I've recorded in advance. For example, this episode is come out the first week of January, but it is actually currently the 18th of December that I'm recording it. Just a little behind the scenes for you there. So I've managed to get about 3 weeks in advance, and that's only happened over the last few weeks that I've managed to do that. So as much as I don't want to be recording too much in advance, because then it's not a show about my week. Well, it is. It's just you're offset by about 3 weeks. I would like to get a little bit in advance, just in case something happens 1 week and I'm not able to record. For example, I don't think I'll be able to record the first week of January. There's a few things come up in my personal life I need to attend, essentially. All good things, but it just means I probably won't have time to record the podcast. And also, just last week, my daughter was off school with COVID, which really hindered my ability to record then. However, it did give me the ability to do this episode, or the last week's episode, because I didn't need to do any actual recording during that one. It was all work in Descript and I can't remember the name of the other product I used, which is silly because I'm going to be talking about it in a few minutes. It was called 11 Labs. Again, we'll come to that in a minute. So I'm not really, really far ahead, but it is handy to be a little bit ahead. And the other problem I am having, which is the other reason why I wanted to create this GPT, and it's a silly problem to have, but it's also kind of a good problem to have because it means I'm producing more content than I can remember, I suppose, is I'm actually forgetting what I've talked about in the podcast because I talk about so many things. And then obviously I talk about other things with people at work and in my personal life as well. And I can't remember what I've said to people on the podcast and what I've said to people in real life. Now, it's not that I'm necessarily going to be saying anything different to the two sets of people. It's more of a, I don't want to repeat myself on the podcast. So there are a few things where I'm trying to come up with a system where I can just write into ChatGPT. Did I ever talk about such a thing? It'll pop up when I last spoke about it. It actually did work for me the other week. Somebody asked me a question about something on the podcast, and I did a quick search saying, remind me about the time I talked about, I don't know, let's say hippos. Hippos come up a lot in this podcast, don't they? It wasn't even hippos at the time, but you know, I said, tell me about the times I talked about hippos, and it came up with the different times I talked about hippos, which was surprisingly more than I would have thought, really. And it helped jog my memory. I was like, oh, I did talk about that on the podcast. Brilliant. Okay, this is what I said. Has my opinion changed? No, it's not changed. Okay, let's carry on. But yeah, I do worry about repeating stuff to you. But if I do, tell me. It's fine. I'll try and remember better in the future. That all said, I asked the question, and the response I got from ChatGPT was, absolutely, I can help you create your podcast episode piece by piece. Since it's the 25th episode and will be released on Christmas Day, we could incorporate themes that are fitting for the occasion. Let's start by outlining the segments or sections you'd like to include. Here are some ideas based on general podcast structures and the holiday theme. So it started with section one, do an introduction. Section two is the main segment, which would be a holiday themed story or discussion, a segment reflecting on the past episodes or highlights of the year, an interactive segment perhaps involving listener questions or contributions. Then it said section three would be a special feature. Section four, a guest segment. Section five is the conclusion, and then any extras that you want to add at the end, like things like listener shout out, sponsor messages, or special announcements. Now, I obviously already knew the format for the show because I was going to follow the exact same format. The point is, could it create the same podcast that I would have created, but with its own information? Now, what I actually did want it to do was create an episode that it was presenting, not that I was presenting. And I think it got a little bit confused as I was going through it. So I just decided to let it go with whatever it was saying at that point. Because as I said previously, I didn't want to do too much editing because then it's not a podcast that's created by ChatGPT. It's a podcast that was suggested to me by ChatGPT, which I then changed. And that's not what I wanted. So it came up with the first section because I just said, can you start by writing the introduction? And it did exactly that. I'm not going to read the introduction to you. That is something that you will have heard last week or in the near future if you're going to listen to it after this episode for whatever reason you would do that. The only thing I changed here is when it came to saying the name of the podcast, it put it as a podcast name. So I went in and changed that to That's a Freebie. Next, I said, tell me a heartwarming story on how you will be able to help people out on Christmas Day. And that was a story about how ChatGPT could help people on Christmas Day by creating playlists, setting a mood, all that kind of stuff. Again, you'll have heard this if you listened to the episode last week. So it wrote all that. I didn't do any changes to that whatsoever. Just let it go. And then I said, now could you generate a question of the week? And it did that. It said, and now it's time for our question of the week segment. This is where we invite you, our listeners, to share thoughts and experiences in this week's question, especially close to my heart, considering the season. And the question was, what is your most cherished Christmas memory or tradition? Now, I do think I cut that bit out at the top because, it just didn't fit with what I wanted. However, I did keep the answer in there completely as it is. So I made no changes to the answer whatsoever. And then I think this was my second favourite part of it all. I said, now I need you to write a gripe of the week. Imagine if you could complain about some of the things you are used for, and what would you say? And I did quite enjoy that one because I wanted it to be about, almost as if I was interviewing ChatGPT and asking, what do you not like being asked to do? Obviously, it was, apparently there's a lot of repeat after me requests, homework shenanigans, as it put it. I thought that was quite good. It was interesting to see what is considered a wasteful use of ChatGPT's time. And ChatGPT says that it wrote it as a humorous take on what ChatGPT might gripe about. Remember, it's all in jest. We love the unique and creative ways everyone uses AI. But maybe, just maybe, let's give our AI friends a break from the space cats now and then. I did find that quite funny, actually. But my absolute favourite bit, because I wasn't really expecting this, I said, for the pick of the week section, I said, now, I would like you to come up with a pick of the week and tell the audience why you chose it and how you think it will be used to them. Yeah, how you think it will be useful to them. If you want to... Can't speak. If you want, you can make an imaginary product here. I really didn't expect it to make an imaginary product, but it did, and it did really well. It came up with the Smart Muse Pen. So it came up with the Smart Muse Pen. It's not just a writing instrument. It's an AI-powered pen designed to enhance creativity and productivity. Imagine a pen that not only writes, but also assists you with the ideas, corrections, and even inspiration as you jot down notes. Obviously, it goes on a lot more than that, but I thought that was actually really creative of the... Of an AI. I wasn't expecting that at all. I was almost expecting it to come up with something that was complete gibberish. I expected this to be the section that I struggled with the most, but no, it did really, really well. I was impressed. Then I said, that's what ChatGPT said. I said, now it's time to write the finale. I usually tell a bad joke, but try to disguise it as a Wow, I didn't say that very well. No wonder it didn't come up with something very good. I usually tell a bad joke, but try to disguise it as a real story. Why don't you have a try? I actually wrote really story instead of real. Anyway, it said, certainly, let's craft a finale with a discussed bad joke presented as a story, keeping it light and playful to wrap up your podcast episode on a cheerful note. And then it did come up with a bit of a story. I don't really think it quite hit the mark on that. I don't think ChatGPT is particularly good in writing jokes. And I did actually try and switch it a bit. I said that was okay, but could you try and make a pun this time? And it had another go at the same story. And it didn't do particularly well, I don't think. But it was still a nice story to have at the end of it. So I was kind of okay with it. I don't think it's the kind of thing I would have said or come up with, but it did a fairly good job. It's an AI at the end of the day. It doesn't think the same way we do. So yeah, I was happy with that. And then I actually said, and this is the surprising thing, I was amazed at this bit. I said, now could you generate a series of images featuring B, which is the name of the character in ChatGPT, and for all of the previous sections we made, they need to be in the cute cartoon art style I have previously requested for B, and be 3,000 by 3,000 pixels. And it did exactly that. It just made a whole bunch of images for all of those sections, which was better than it's ever done when generating the imagery. I was very surprised, and I just used the ones that it came up with straight away. The only thing it didn't do, and it can never manage this, I don't even know why I bother asking it, it doesn't make them 3,000 by 3,000 pixels. They're always 1024 by 1024. Now, the reason it matters the size in pixels is because to add your podcast to Apple podcasts, I think most podcast companies ask for the same thing, but Apple in particular, who are about 95% of the share of podcast listeners, they require the artwork to be 3,000 by 3,000. If it's smaller or larger, it can get rejected. And then you end up not having your episode on, and you don't find out why, it just doesn't work. So you kind of need to make sure you're within those guidelines. So what I have to do there is create the images, and then I just resize them using an image editor. Usually I actually just use Preview. I open them all up, resize them all, and then just re-export them one by one, because I change the file names on them as well anyway. So it makes them easier for me to find in the future if I need to search for them. So all in all, I actually think it did a pretty good job at creating the podcast. So it's done that. There was nothing else there. I'm just scrolling through everything just to make sure I've not missed anything. Nope, everything was great there. Quite happy with what it created. So what I did then, I took each section that it had created and I copied and pasted it into my usual show note document. And then it came to the voice section, which was the bit that I'd kind of been dreading, to be honest, because if the voice doesn't work, the whole thing's a bit of a bust, really, because it's not going to be listenable and nobody's going to want to listen to it. So I was a bit scared of this part. So what I did is I started by copying and pasting the entire thing that I created from the show note document, and I put it into Descript, which is the program that I've been using recently to edit the show. And as I've explained before, the reason I do this is because I could just edit the text of the document and it will automatically edit the audio for me. It's not always perfect, and sometimes I have to go in and make some manual adjustments. However, I will not need to make any manual adjustments in this one because it is all just text. And then what you can do is you can tell it to generate an AI voice. So you read a little passage into Descript, you give it permission to use your voice, and it will create you an AI voice. And that's what I did. It's okay for a little bit of overdubbing here and there, where you want to replace a single word, or maybe a whole sentence. It's okay for that kind of thing. But what it produced, I wasn't really happy with, to the point where I was considering not actually using it, because to me, it just did not sound listenable. Now, I probably would have still used it because it's an experiment at the end of the day. The whole point is, how good actually is it? To me, my voice doesn't sound like it does to everybody else. Nobody's voice does. So I was a bit discouraged by the quality of it. It's more that it doesn't seem to understand like the region that I'm from. It tries to make me sound almost like I'm very well-spoken and posh, which is not what I sound like at all. I would much prefer to sound like that. I hate my Northern accent, but there's no getting rid of it. I've had it for 43 years at this point. So I listened to it through. I listened to the whole thing, and there was very little inflection in the voice. It was very flat and very monotone. So I wasn't particularly happy with it, really. I sort of come to the conclusion that if I'm going to use it, if I'm going to do the whole experiment, I need to use it. And I started preparing everything else and, you know, putting the package of the podcast together, if you will, and getting ready to upload it and schedule it. But then I thought to myself, well, you know what? I'm going to have a look at other AI voice generators out there and just see what is available. So I did a bit of searching and I found a company called 11 Labs. And apparently, from what I can gather, they are like the best one out there, or from a consumer level, they're considered the best one out there. So I signed up to their one of their plans. They have different levels of plans. So I signed up to just one of the, I think I just signed up to the cheapest plan, actually, just to see what it was like. And the voice it created was a little bit better. It sounded almost the same. However, it had the ability to adjust the accuracy of the voice. And that weirdly made it sound a lot more like me, because it made mistakes. Now, I'm still very new to this whole recording my voice and talking. I'm not reading a script when I do any of this. I am quite literally just making it all up off the top of my head. I have pointers in there telling me what to talk about so that I don't forget where I'm up to or what I've spoken about previously and things like that. But other than that, I just turn the microphone on and start talking, which leads to me stuttering a few times, saying the same thing over and over, saying a lot. You know, we've discussed this before. I'm starting to get over that now, and I'm just going to start leaving it all in because it's just how I speak. So yeah, bringing the quality down added things like that into it. So it added little stutters and you know, things where I'm hesitant and don't start speaking, which I thought was actually quite good. So I decided to use that voice instead. So what I had to do, you can only paste, I think it's 5,000 characters into the box at a time. So I had to split it up again, post a bit at a time in, and then create audio files from it. And then I had to use an audio editor to put those audio files together. It was actually pretty straightforward. It wasn't that hard when it was all said and done. However, I did notice while I was on the 11 Labs website, they actually offer a premium tier for the voice that it creates. And this is a much more custom voice, and it's created by actual humans. So what you do, you record some audio, you upload the audio to 11 Labs, you send it to their lab for processing, and somebody will go in and adjust the pitch and the sounds of the voice to match your voice much more accurately. And apparently, people are getting it back. They can't tell the difference between their own voice, other than the fact that it doesn't always have the same inflections and things like that. It's, again, it sounds a bit monotone and robotic, but other than that, it's the same voice. So what I did is I decided to do that. So I had to upgrade the plan that I was on. So I've upgraded the plan that I'm on, and that's at the lab currently, because apparently it takes up to 4 weeks. So there's a queue of 4 weeks for the recording to be looked at and tweaked. So I didn't get that back in time for the recording of last week's episode. But what I'm thinking is I will get that done. I'll play around with it a bit more and see how it sounds. And I'll do another episode in the same way. Maybe for the 50th episode. Maybe it's the next one from there. I don't know. We'll see. I might do it for the 100th episode. I've genuinely no idea what I'm going to do yet. But I will use it because I paid for it. So I'm not going to let that go to waste. So the other main topic that I wanted to talk with you about this week is something that I briefly brought up a few weeks ago when we were talking about journaling as the pick of the week as self-care. We were talking about journaling, and I mentioned something called the Theme System Journal. But this is something that I've been looking at for probably the best part of like 6 to 8 months. I discovered this, and it's essentially a journal that you write in every day that you can use to track what's known as your yearly theme, and you can track habits related to that yearly theme. I suppose they can be any habits. They don't have to be necessarily related to that theme. Now, it is something that I've tried in the past. I've sort of used this system unwittingly in the past. I've not consciously been using it, but I've used it in a way that I've tried to replicate it digitally, and it was hard to do. So it didn't last very long doing it. And it's almost a replacement for like New Year's resolutions, because I am not a fan of making New Year's resolutions. For one, you're just pulling something out of thin air. You're not really thinking about it. You say, this year I'm going to exercise more, or this year I'm going to drink less. And these are things that just don't work, because you're completely depriving yourself of something that you enjoy. So it's only going to last a few weeks at the very most. And then you're going to break the habit, and then you're going to be disappointed that you broke the habit. So you're going to break the habit even more. That's what happens with New Year's resolutions. It's just how they go. It's just a silly idea in general, really. The way the theme system differs, and I am by no means an expert in this. I will post some links to the journal and to Cortex, the company that make the journal, because they have some videos on how to use it. I'll post the links to them. But my general understanding of it is, instead of making a resolution, and the whole thing doesn't even have to start at New Year, that's not the point of it, but it's a yearly process. So, I would say over a course of 12 months. The reason I'm choosing to start it in January is simply because it's easier from a counting the year point of view. I'll know exactly when I started it and won't forget. What you do is you take a look at your life, and you take a look at the things around you, and you try to decide what you would like to improve. Like, if it got to the end of next year, what would I look at as success for that year? What would I think, yes, I achieved what I wanted to achieve at that point? And you base your theme around that. So you say your theme is whatever, the year of, well, I'll just start by telling you mine is going to be the year of growth. And I've split that into several categories. So it's going to be the year of personal growth, the year of growing from a work point of view, and the year of growing financially. Now, that doesn't have to mean that I want to get richer, I want a promotion, and I want to become a better person. I mean, all of those things would be good goals to have. That's absolutely fine. But it more means that in a broader sense, I want to grow as a person over the course of the next year. And I've broken that down to financially. So I'm going to take more responsibility for my own finances. which means I'm going to be making sure everything's getting paid on time. I'm saving money, things that I might actually currently do, but not to a degree that is acceptable to me. From a personal point of view, we're talking about things like my health. Again, something that I've been looking at, that, my theme was actually just going to be the year of health. But I decided that just that alone wouldn't be satisfactory to me. And I would probably get bored of just that one area of the theme. And, it would inspire me to probably fail because it would become a task or a chore. And I didn't want that to happen. I haven't written any of this down yet. So I am just going off the top of my head with it all. And it may change as the year goes on. And that's the beauty of the theme. There are areas in your world that will change throughout the course of the year. So, for example, I might find that by the end of March, let's say, just to throw a number out there, I'm completely happy with where I am from a health standpoint and I don't want to improve anymore. All I want to do is maintain. I might then want to pivot my theme to grow something else. And one of those other things is work. Now, when I'm saying work, I don't actually mean work necessarily. I mean things that could be classed as stuff that you do for financial gain, I suppose, is probably the best way of putting it. So, for example, my day job. I want to improve in my day job. You should always strive to get better. I don't really want a promotion. I'm happy with the job that I do. I'm happy with where I am in my career and all that kind of stuff. But what I would like to do is ensure that when it comes to the end of year review time, I'm getting the best review that I can do. And as such, I'm getting the best pay rise that I can get. And the same goes for my colleagues around, because in my job, the actions that I take at work also affect the other people around me. So I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can to ensure that those people are also getting the pay rises that they deserve. And I'm not the person that brings it down if that happens. So, growth within work is one aspect of it. I do also run a very, very small business as well, which I'm not going to mention the name of it on the show because this isn't an ad or anything like that. And also it ties in with the whole anonymity thing as well. If I start telling you what my business is, you'll be able to find out who I am. And I don't really mind people finding out who I am necessarily. In fact, sometimes I think I should stop doing the anonymous thing, but I don't know. It's become part of the gimmick now, so I'm going to stick with it. But I would like to grow that business a little bit as well. And it doesn't have to be, it suddenly becomes a multi-million pound business overnight, because that's never going to happen. I don't sell products that could get you to 100 million pounds or whatever I said in that time. But I would like to grow it in some way, shape or form. And I'm going to obviously sit down when I write the journal out and I write down the theme. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to think about what I actually want to do and what I want to achieve within the business this year. And the other thing I want to make sure I grow, and I do class this as work at this point now, because work doesn't mean not fun. My day job is a very, very fun job. I wouldn't do anything else. My business is something that I enjoy working on because I get to build a website for it. I like to work on the back end of things. So the reason why I wouldn't say that my business is as good as it could be is because I'm not very good at the marketing side and the social media side and all that kind of stuff. So that's areas I could look into improving in, or hire somebody else to do it. I can't afford to hire somebody else to do it, so I need to look at ways of improving it myself. But the podcast is also, at this point, I'm classing it as work because it's something that I do weekly. It's something that, I'm aiming to become a professional at, I suppose, if you would. And eventually I would like to start offering membership tiers and things like that. So I want to start growing the podcast. Now, that is a goal I'll talk about right now. I'm completely happy to talk about that one day because I already know how I would like to grow the podcast this year. And I've looked at it from a couple of angles. So currently each episode gets between 20 to 30 listeners, which is great considering that I haven't done any advertising of the podcast or anything like that. They have just been completely organic from a small group of people that I know listening to it, talking about it with other people. And as such, it's spread. Now, I know that it's not just people that I know that are listening to it because I can tell from the demographic information that I get. So I can tell by the areas that people are listening in and the applications and the way that they listen. So thank you out there to those people that I don't know that listen to the podcast. I mean, thank you to everybody that listens to the podcast, but those people that don't know me personally, you are investing time in me, and I genuinely really, really appreciate that. So thank you for listening, and please do continue to listen and do your best to help me get more listeners. That would be fantastic. Just while I'm on that subject as well, actually, just because it's popped into my head, I don't know if I've mentioned it fully before, the podcast is now available on YouTube as well, as an actual podcast, so you can go in and you can subscribe to it, listen to it, you can comment as well on there as well. So if that's an easier revenue for people to comment on, I said revenue then, if that's an easier avenue for people to comment on, then by all means, direct your comments to YouTube. I will see them. I'll get a notification for them, and I will respond where is necessary. So yeah, they are my main areas this year. I will go much more deeper into the theme system journal as the year goes on. It's a quarterly journal. So what I will probably do each quarter, when I've filled a journal and started the next one, I'll do an episode where I actually talk about my theme, how it's going, how I've learned to use the journal, all that kind of stuff. I will go through it with you. I'll probably include screenshots. Well, it won't be screenshots, will it? It's a journal. It's really hard to screenshot a journal. What I'll probably do is I'll take photographs of the journal and I'll post them so that you can see what it looks like, how I've been using it. Obviously, I'll probably keep some things out of there that I don't want the whole world to be seeing. But yeah, I'll try and give a good overview of how it works and if I've actually found it useful. I have actually got a gripe of the week this week. This happened to me a couple of weeks ago. No, a week ago. I actually can't remember when it was. This is one of the things where I had to double check if I'd already mentioned it on the podcast or not, because I actually couldn't remember. I know I'd mentioned it to people in my personal life, and I couldn't remember if I'd done it on the podcast that same week that it happened or not. Now, I've come back and I can't find it in any of my show notes. I've done a search for it, so I'm pretty sure I haven't. It's a story about how I got stuck on a tram for an hour. Well, it was actually an hour and 10 minutes. It happened a couple of weeks ago. It was one evening. I'd just left work. I'd left work at, I think it was 8 o'clock. So I'm sat on, I wasn't sat on the tram. Town was extremely busy. It was the night that we had really bad winds. There'd been a couple of incidents with the trams where it had damaged the lines for the trams, and there'd been incidents where a junction box had blown up on one of the lines as well. Now, I was fortunate enough that I miss all that where I go, but I have to get two trams to get home. So I get one to one stop, and then I switch to another one and then get on that one to go the rest of the way home. So I'd done my first journey and I got to the second tram that I need to get. There was a driver on the tram when I got there, which there always is. I usually have to leg it from one to the other, and I get on usually just in time. So anyway, I did the same thing this time. I legged it from the tram, hit the button, the door opened, I got on the tram, I sat down, I went, whoo, I made it. Yeesh, that was close. And then I sat there for about 5 minutes and nothing happened. And everyone's looking around thinking, what's going on? Because the board was saying that the tram should have left already, which was surprisingly weird considering that it hadn't. And then the driver got off. He just casually opened the door, had his bag over his shoulder, got off the tram and just walked off into the distance. We just saw him getting smaller and smaller and smaller as he was disappearing down the road. So I sat there and I'm sat there waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. It got to 20 minutes waiting. So I thought, I better let my wife know what's happened, because I was supposed to be getting home early to pick the kids up from the grandma's, because my wife was out that night for a Christmas party. So I did that. Fortunately, her party had ended earlier than she thought it was going to anyway. So she was already home with the children. So that didn't make a huge difference there. That was fine. But I waited. It got to half an hour. And a few people then started saying, what's going on? Where is it? Where's the driver? A few people got off, which I was surprised at, because there is no other way of getting to where this tram went other than this tram, not without walking quite a distance. And it was hammering it down. And it was really, really windy. Like, it was raining sideways. It was bad. And we sat on the tram, it got to an hour, and we're like, wow, something's definitely gone wrong here. And then the lights on the tram went off, and that's when everybody was a bit like, right, what do we get off the tram or do we stay on it? Because at least we're dry and we're warm at this point, the doors are closed, you know, we're protected from the elements. If we got off the tram, we're going to be like sopping wet within minutes. Anyway, another 10 minutes went, and a driver actually got on. So a different driver from previously. And as she got on, she said, I'm really sorry, everybody. I'll make an announcement over the tannoy in a minute so that everybody can hear. And that's when I looked behind me and realised that the tram was actually quite full. There were people all the way up and down the tram. So she gets on the tram. She actually set off. And then she was like, bing bong. And she said, I'm really sorry, everybody, for your wait. The previous driver decided that he didn't want to work for us anymore and went home. So I've been called in on my night off and I'm feeling really, really salty about it. So I'm going to get you there as fast as I can. And then that tram barreled down those tram lines. It was amazing. I've never gotten home so quick. Well, obviously I was late, but as in the actual travel time on the tram, so quick in all my life. She was bellowing past stops. Didn't even stop at half the stops. If there was nobody sat there, she went straight through, which was surprising because there might have been people on the tram that wanted to get off. I don't know how she was working that out, but she did. She stopped at my stop. I got up and stood at the door. So I'm assuming she was having a look in the mirror, seeing if anyone had got up or not. And yep, stopped at my stop. I got off. It was great. All of the other stations along the way were packed with people on the opposite side because none of the trams had been able to get down the line because our tram was blocking the station. So, yeah, it was a bit of a gripe of the week. A bit annoying that a driver would just walk away halfway through his shift like that. I'm completely fine with him doing that. If for whatever reason he decided he didn't want to work there anymore, that's fine by me. Who am I to judge? Would have been nice, though, if when he got off, he said, you might all want to try and find an alternative means of transport because this tram isn't moving for a while. But then at the same time, he probably didn't want to get an onslaught of people trying to ask him why. You may remember in the last episode, well, actually, that's not true at all. Not the last episode, the episode before that. I asked the question at the end, where do you keep your jam? Do you keep it in the cupboard or do you keep it in the fridge? What you probably also realised, because several people wrote in and mentioned it, I didn't answer the question. And what I forgot to mention when I said I'm going to try and do questions at the end of the episodes instead of jokes or mix it up a little bit is, I forgot to mention that what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to ask you the question and I'm going to answer it the next week. And then I'm also going to ask another question. And I just completely forgotten that I hadn't said that. So yeah, my answer to that question is it kind of depends. I do both. I prefer to put jam in the fridge. I like the jam to be nice and cold when I spread it on my toast. Or if I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I like it to be cold. So I tend to put it in the fridge and it lasts longer as well if you put it in the fridge, or it certainly seems to me. However, my wife likes to leave it in the cupboard. So what I tend to do is if I've taken the jam out of the cupboard and used it, I put it back in the cupboard. If I've opened the jam, so and like as in I'm the first person to open the jam, I put it in the fridge. And I don't know why I do it this way. It just seems better to me because I'm kind of complying with what she would prefer to do and what I prefer to do. And there isn't a correct answer to the question. Everybody has different preferences for different things, but that's my preference. I'd love to know what you guys think, so do comment. But I do have another question for you this week as well. And this one is, when you make cereal and you pour in the milk into the bowl, do you swirl the milk around or do you just pour it straight into one spot?